opportunities to work, opportunities to make a difference in somebody else's life, opportunities to enjoy the company of family, or celebrate with someone who is celebrating and weep with someone who is weeping. You have poured opportunity upon opportunity into each of our lives, in each of the situations of each day that you brought us. And in that situation, Lord, you have called us to live in your power and in your spirit. And sometimes, Lord, we have failed miserably at it. And so, Lord, we repent of those times and ask that we would become more aware of the move of your spirit and the quickness with which we need to obey, so that we're faithful followers of what your spirit is leading us to do. Create in us that clean heart, O Lord, that is necessary, and renew, Lord, that spirit that only you can put within us, so that each day we move forward sustained by your love, by your power, by your mercy and grace. Come and bring your blessing over us all, and receive us, Lord. We ask for forgiveness and pray for your mercy and love. God's people say, amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The scripture verse this morning is found in the book of John, chapter 14. We're going to be starting in verse 15, and we'll be reading through verse 21. And I'm trying to quick look up the new... Bruce, what's the new translation that the Synod is going to? The English?
ESV.
ESV. This may sound read a little bit different. This is a new Bible that was given to me by my daughter. It's the ESV. There's been some changes in the publications of the NIV, and this is actually the translation that our Synod has decided is the most accurate. So as you read in your translation, kind of pay attention to some of the difference in wording and keep that in mind. So in the book of John, chapter 14, starting in verse 15, there's a little section here on Jesus promising the Holy Spirit. But what strikes me is the first part of this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. When my kids were growing up, I made a point of telling all my kids, don't ever pay attention to what people say. Watch what they do. Because people say anything and everything, but what's important is, do their actions back it up? So if I say I love Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, what does that mean? What does it mean to love Jesus Christ? And it's interesting what Jesus' answer back to me is here, as we find out in these scripture verses. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This ends the reading.
Invite the children to come down if you would. Yeah, are you okay? Yes. Yes, I think. Well, I'm going to tell you a true story in one sense that it came from the Bible. I'm going to use myself as an example, and I need Jeff up here, so he said he'd volunteer. It was really nice. And Jeff and I were having a conversation, and we got into a little disagreement the other day. And so all of a sudden, he did something to me which really surprised me, which was, oh. Wait a minute. I said a soft one? Yeah, I know. All right, let me illustrate. It sounded worse than it was. No. Now, somebody hit me, right? Now, here's my challenge. There are two wisdoms out here. One wisdom, which comes from the world, all the people that don't know Jesus, all the television programs and the junk on TV, that has a certain kind of wisdom, and it says, when you get slapped in the face, then you go and always hit him back harder than he hit you. That's one wisdom. Then I've learned that there is the true wisdom. And this is where it gets really hard. Because Jesus said, if someone strikes you on the one cheek, tooth may come out. It says, go and let them strike you on the other.
We get the idea.
It would have been okay. Now, we have a choice to live by God's wisdom or the world's wisdom. Now, it doesn't always necessarily mean let people keep hitting you in the face. All right? It means if Jeff and I had a real disagreement and he was so upset with me, he punched me or slapped me, I could come back and say, I'll never like you again and start a fight with him. Or I could come back and say, Jeff, I know you're really upset and I'm sorry. Let's see if we can resolve this and make a better situation out of it. And let's see if we, you understand? I am forgiving him for what? Up here. I'm forgiving him for? Yes. And that's really what God's trying to communicate. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, you get a treat. Jeff will take up a collection later for all of you who want to. Anyway, here's the situation, okay? One of the hardest things for us to do is know the difference between wisdom that comes from the world and wisdom that comes from God. I mean, God has things to say about children. And he tells dads, he says, listen, if your child is disobedient, don't be afraid to give him a game. Yes. And the world will come along and say, oh, no, you'll break him. Here's what's really hard. And one of the hardest things you're going to have growing up, and we're going to talk about it in my sermon today, is that we have to learn to listen for God's wisdom. For instance, God tells dads to love moms no matter what, even when moms aren't so easy to love, even when they do something that makes them very sad. And not only that, God tells dads to love kids, even when you guys do something wrong or do something nasty. It's all right. Or like he does, and you're pointing at him because you never do anything wrong. So, here's what I want to talk about in the sermon. And here's what I want you to start listening for. I want you to listen to whether or not you're going to hear the wisdom that comes from God or the wisdom that comes from the world, okay? And it's going to be very hard at first, but once you get it, God will bless you. In fact, if Jeff had really slapped me and he was really that angry, I really did, but if he had, we could actually become friends, even if he did something so horrible as to give me a slap. I still can be his very best friend. You see, because God's plan is not for me to just get even. God's plan is for Jeff and I to become good friends, even if Jeff has done something bad or wrong or hurtful to me. I have to learn to love kids even when they don't sit still. Even when they don't pay attention. Right? Because God wants me to love you anyway. So we love everyone but you because you're apparently the bad child. How's that sound? Not so good, huh? Well, I don't have any treats because Mr. Grossman gets them all today. Because everyone will remember this sermon as a result. There you go. Yeah. I don't learn. Grab one. Grab one. There you go. Did you get one, honey? Okay. The Thursday night study is working on, I think, the book of Ezekiel. A lot of good news in Ezekiel in a few verses. Isaiah chapter 6, 9 and 10. If you can look them up fast, I'll let you look them up, but I'm just reading a few to you. Be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull. Close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. They have turned their backs on Him. Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 4. He said to me, Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many peoples of obscure, but to the house of Israel. Not of many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language whose words you cannot understand. Sorry about that. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But this house of Israel is not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. But I will make you an unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'll put them all together in a minute. Chapter 5, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3. Reminds you of confirmation in the look it up fast search, right? O Lord, do not your eyes look for the truth. You struck them, but they felt no pain. You crushed them, but they refused correction. You made their faces harder than stone, and they made their faces harder than stone and refused to repent. I thought, these are only poor people. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. So I will go to the leaders and speak to them. Surely they know the way of the Lord and the requirements of their God. But with one accord, they too had broken off the yoke and torn off the bonds. There's a reality of Old Testament life that I need to be always conscious of whenever we talk about truth and we're trying to address that kind of sensitivity to what we're working with in Oxano. And we believe in spirit-led. We value spirit-led truth without compromise. One of the challenges that we have in dealing with our culture is that we sometimes think it's different than the cultures of the past, and that somehow we're up against a greater wall or a tougher thing than they were up against. And the reason I picked many of the passages I picked was I was sharing with you that here was a prophet, and God says, I'm going to make your head so hard, no one is going to affect it. I'm going to make your head like this hard, hard stone flint. And in doing so, it's going to preserve you, and you're going to be able to talk to these people because that's exactly what they are. They're as hard as flint themselves. Now, what he means is, of course, they won't be able to hurt you. They won't be able to attack you. They won't be able to destroy you. You'll be able to stand against their attacks. All right? Because that's the kind of spirit it's going to take to take on my own children of Israel. Now, one of the things you have to always be aware of, sometimes we get the truth, God loves all people, and that's true. But we forget that there is this side of God which is just, that brings about the consequence of people's open, continuous rebellion against God, whether they come under that category of His children or not. So Israel, in its behavior, had become so callous, so hardened, so standing against God, that God could not get through to them anymore. You read these passages and it says, they were hearing but not hearing. They had become deaf. They had become hardened. They wouldn't see God. They wouldn't listen to God. They would not move in the way that God would have them move. And that behavior then had to be responded to. And God's response then is like he begins to say, he sends them, I'll send you a prophet tough enough to talk to you. He didn't quit on them in one sense, but he said, I'm going to have to send you there. You're going to have to warn them. And so you pick up a prophet like Ezekiel, tough ministry, where he has to go and minister to these people who are locked in this kind of hardness, and he has to go, like God says, I'm going to send you with a head as tough as their head, and you're going to feel sometimes like you're getting nowhere, but you are one of the steps in the process that I want to keep you in. These people need that second, third, and fourth warning, second, third, and fourth chance. God is not into finding a reason to punish people. There's always plenty of reason for that. But he also has to deal with people when they don't respond. And that's the challenge that as we eventually take you back to the New Testament that I was reading in John, that's the challenge. What do I do when they stop listening to my truth? What do I do with them when they have become so hardened to my truth, they would prefer to punch the other guy out rather than turn the other cheek or resolve the problem? What do I do when they have bought so thoroughly into the ways of the world, they no longer can tell the difference between the way of God and the way of the world? They just live, act, and behave the way they think they want to. And compared to the worst people in the world, they're pretty good. I only hit him back once. Where I have a few of my kids would look at him and say, I beat him down. He never got up again. He'll never touch me again. Because he knows he even gets close to me, I'll beat him down. And you go, holy cow. Well, compared to that kid, I'm really pretty holy. I only punched him once. And we get to this mindset of comparison. Compared to the world, I'm really pretty good. Compared to the way those other wives behave, compared to the way those other men behave, husbands behave, I'm really pretty good. And you get this measurement that's taking place, and none of them are listening to the side of the Holy Spirit. They're listening to the spirit of the world. And you've just kind of quietly slid over to the spirit of the world, but you're not as bad as some, but you're certainly not You understand? And you go, well, I'm pretty good. And you've now identified yourself on the side of evil, on the side of listening to the demonic, on the side of being obedient to the flesh, on the side of being anti-God and anti-Christ. But you're not as far anti-Christ as some others are. And you begin to say, how could a culture, a world, a church, a group of people begin to do these things? And the children of Israel illustrate it just visibly in the way they respond to the prophets. The prophets are coming going, we have to try and wake you up. Don't you understand? I have to warn you, you have become unrighteous. Your compromise is everywhere you look. You have stopped letting God be God of your life. You have stopped serving God and you've started serving stuff. You have done the things that the world says don't do, and you got caught in it a little bit at a time, and that process has beaten you down until finally God has to send prophets whose heads are like flint so that they do not crumble under the attack you throw back at them. And that's within the body. We're not even addressing those outside the body. Do you understand? When I start addressing here and God is dealing with prophets coming to his own people, that's as though he's speaking to his own church. Those are the people of God that God has called, that God has redeemed, that God has given his spirit, that God has poured his life out for them, that God has made the promises to, but they have become so hardened, they have been so swayed that the longing and life of the world has overtaken them and they have lost a sense of balance. They've lost a sense of how difficult it is. It's pretty significant to stand up here and see Turn the Other Cheek actually illustrated. And don't think I would turn the other cheek easily. I'm not standing up here going, this is easy for me to do. I'm standing up here going, that is what God's wisdom says. Now, we can talk about honoring Scripture, and we can talk about honoring truth, but you and I have to have the courage to speak that truth which the Holy Spirit brings, not the truth that we've kind of established as we rub on one another and come up with our own little churchy Christian truth, our kind of compromised truth. Well, everybody does that. That's the way men are. That's the way women behave. We really can't expect them. And we come up with all those lines and excuses rather than to be challenged by God's expectation. And God says, I asked you when Jeff slapped you across the face, turn the other cheek. Why didn't you? Well, Lord, it would have hurt. Yeah? Do you understand how difficult this really gets to be? You understand? There is so much in Scripture God's calling us to that we run away from. Whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our connection with God, whatever it is, we run away from it because we don't want to go there. We want to create a kind of a middle ground which doesn't exist. Remember, a lukewarm is vomit to God. Remember, he spits it out of his mouth. But we want to create a lukewarmness. Well, I'm not as bad as these people. You know, at least I go to church. Yeah, but do you obey your father? Well, I kind of obey him, but, you know, he's getting old. You know, and he's kind of weird. I don't know any fathers that aren't getting older and a little bit weird. Raise your hand if you aren't one. My hand's down. And you mothers aren't any better, and you know that. You got your own quirkiness. I wish you could all say you were flawless and everything else. But God doesn't go, you can honor her and your dad when they're nice. When their plan fits your plan. Otherwise, you can lie to them, take advantage of them, deceive them like the rest of the world's kids do, pretend you're really committed to God or to family or to church or to people, but just kind of pretend and lie through your teeth because that's okay. Because at least you're not as bad as the kid over there. And we all do that. It doesn't matter whether we're old or whether we're young. We find ourselves creating this lukewarm middle ground that is vomit to God. And what we've really created is, well, I'm not as bad as those people over there, but I'm certainly not going to turn the other cheek. So I just turn my back on the things of God, and you begin to understand how hard is it to take a person who has become lukewarm and comfortable and sought out other people who are lukewarm and comfortable with the way they treat their wives or their husbands, their sons, their daughters, their mothers or fathers. How easy is that then to live in that context and say, well, that is as good as it's going to get. And God is going to challenge us, all right? Now we go into the New Testament, to the passage that we're reading here out of John 14. Okay? Starting there at verse 15, if you would. So you can go back to that spot now. All right? Let me get my one sheet out here. If you love me, you're going to go to heaven. Then you really are a believer. Then you're really saved. Then the Holy Spirit's in you. Okay? That's how important this little statement. If you love me, here's your evidence. All right? You'll turn the other cheek. Wait a minute. No, it just says, you understand how tough this is? This is not for the weak of heart. This is not for people who don't want to hear the truth. I'm not going to pretend to you spiritual truth is mushy. It's not. God is not being wimpy and saying, oh, I'm so sorry you guys are so weak and it's so hard down there. It really is difficult to honor your father and mother, and it really is difficult to be a faithful wife or husband, and it really is. God's not going to do that. Does he love me? Yes. Will he confront me? Yes. Will he send me a prophet as hard with a head like flint? Yes, if that's what it takes. Because keeping me in this kind of neutral zone, this kind of lukewarm, comfortable zone, this kind of, well, everybody's a sinner zone, is not like being obedient. And so the challenge, he says this, if you love me, look at his point, you will obey what I command. Husbands, love your wives. Give yourselves up for them. Guard them. Protect them. Nurture them. I know you're better than Fred next door. And I know you're not as bad as your father in some cases. And I know that you're the best husband compared to. That isn't what I said. Do you understand? Wives, live in this relationship of submission, this willingness to work with this man, follow, encourage, respect, build, encourage him to be the leader God wants him to be. Well, God, you know, that's pretty old-fashioned stuff. I have to be like flint just to deal with my own flesh. My spiritual head's got to become like flint, because my flesh, as I've grown older, gets more sophisticated. Have you done this? You get more sophisticated with your excuses. You develop more rationales. I've gone to college. I've been educated in psychology. And I've taken a little bit of philosophy. I took a lot of philosophy, a lot of psychology. I took a lot of junk. And I go, wow, I'm so smart. And God whispers and says, you haven't learned anything yet. Yes, but psychologists say, the educators say, those people, you understand? And you start running down this path, and now I'm far more sophisticated in my head like flint than I was before I went to college or got out of high school or even finished grade school. Now I can become so sophisticated, I can find out this is who I have really become. That I've justified and rationalized a set of behaviors, a set of attitudes, a set of justifications that are absolutely wrong. So he goes, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another comrade, someone to walk through this with you, to be with you forever. The paraclete is the Greek word there. The Spirit of Truth. In one sense, that's where I want to stop. We value spirit-led, biblically-centered truth. And we value it to a point where you will not hear me compromise on it, other than the fact I will raise my hand and say, I am a sinner, and sometimes I like this lukewarm position, but the Spirit of God is keeping on calling me back to this one, and so I walk with you, and I repent of it, and I want to stay back over here where God calls me. I want to be able to turn my other cheek. Do I do it all the time? No. Has God called me to it? Yes. But God, you don't understand how bad a kid this is in my class. You don't understand what they said to me. You don't understand how they treated me. God says, I know everything. What are you going to tell me I don't know? You understand what God is challenging us with this expectation, this quality, this value that we want to place here, this value, we value truth and Spirit-led truth. We don't value the truth of the world in the sense that we're going to take and bow down to it. We certainly can honor it if it has some value in our lives. But ultimately, I'm going to be challenged by the far greater challenge, which is turn the other cheek. Forgive those who persecute you. Show mercy. Forgive even if they have not forgiven you. And the list goes on and on and on. Until I begin to understand what God's talking about here. And watch what he says here. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore. That's Jesus. But you will see me because I live in you. You also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me. And I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Now, God's desire and the reason we value truth is until you turn the other cheek, you're never going to have a testimony of turning the other cheek. Right? I know what it's like to try and beat someone down and get beaten down. I know what it's like to get back at someone where they can't get back at you. I've played all those out. I don't think any of them have worked well if I try to think about it. There have been a few times where I've turned the other cheek, where I consciously made a decision, and I can testify that by turning the other cheek, God was given that situation, and it worked for God's glory and my benefit and the other person's too. But if you never turn the other cheek, you never have a testimony. If you never pray for those who persecute you, you'll never have the testimony that comes with it. It isn't that God is mad at you. He's going, I need you to live in that place where I've called you to. I'm calling you to obedience. I've given you a spirit of truth. I don't want you living in the lukewarm spot. I want you living here. Because when you live here, then you open up the floodgates of heaven, just like tithing, right? I've heard these unbelievably wonderful testimonies from men and women. I was doing this and that, and then suddenly God got a hold of my life and began to tithe. And you know what? I've never been in debt since. My life's radicalized. My whole financial picture has changed. And if you ask me how, I wouldn't have the first idea how to explain it to you. I only know this, that I'm tithing and I'm praising God for it. And you go, you understand? Bring in the tithe, God says in Malachi, and I'll open up the floodgates of heaven and you will not be able to outgive God. That's one of those wisdoms of God, though, that the Holy Spirit will lead you to. You can't do it because some preacher said do it. You can't do it because you're going to manipulate God. Boy, God, if I tithe today, will you kind of multiply it by next week? Right? You can't do it that way. You got to do it because the Spirit of truth has brought it to your mind and has revealed it to you, and you in obedience between you and God, that Spirit of truth, are going to step into that no matter how young or old you are. No matter what age you happen to be. No matter whether you're making $23 a week or $2,300 a week, it makes no difference. When you step into it, it's got to be in obedience because it's you and the Lord speaking on this issue. And it doesn't matter. The same thing's got to happen. I'm turning the other cheek, Jesus, because you're more important than my cheek. Because this is who I have been called to be. Because I don't want to walk back in the world. I want to walk in the truth that you've called me to. And so that's the challenge. I want you to understand, the Spirit will lead you in all truth. The Spirit will lead you in the truth that you need to hear. The world will not understand it. The world will not get it. And you're going to have to receive as a gift from the Holy Spirit a head like flint in order to stand your ground when the rest of the world seems to walk against you. You really tithe? What are you, crazy? Bam! No, I love Jesus. You forgave him for what? Yeah, I did. Took me a while to do it, but I did. And what? Yeah, we talk to each other now. We can communicate. Jeff is actually my friend again. You understand? God wants to produce testimony. And the testimony is it's outside your reach. The testimony is God's Spirit stepped in. I forgave them. I moved in this direction. I was obedient by the leading of the Spirit. And I turned around and looked back over my shoulder and I said, oh my goodness, this worked out just like you promised. I didn't do it to manipulate God. You can never do God. You can't manipulate Him. And so that's the challenge I want to pose for you and I today. I want you to understand, when you obey, you are demonstrating real love. And when you ask the Father, He will give you that gift of the Spirit of truth. And that's the one we have to seek after. That's the one we have to have the courage to listen to. Because turning the other cheek is only the beginning. Pray with me if you would. Lord, there are so many people to be saved, so many people to be loved, so many people that need our forgiveness, so many people that need what you can do in us and through us by the whole power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I get so conflicted that the voices of the world and the truth of the world just seems to overpower me. But I want to stop making excuses about that, and I want to hear your voice. I want to know your truth. I'll understand your will for my life. And so, Lord, come and speak your truth to each of our hearts and help us to live it out in obedience and faithfulness. Help us understand what it really means to put our trust in you. And I pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people said, amen. If you're a guest or visitor, please.